Everyone knows an oversharer on Facebook. Hey, maybe that's you. They're the person who always shares everything they're up to, what their kids are doing, regular statuses about how they feel about any given thing. But even if you're not oversharing, social media companies are finding ways to not only know how you feel, but potentially influence how you feel too. It's called sentiment analysis, and a lecturer in applied mathematics at the University of Adelaide, Lewis Mitchell, is here to help us get our heads around it. And I've got to be honest, I'm a little disturbed by it, so hopefully he can help. Lewis, welcome. How does a social media company go about sorting through data to try and establish links to someone's emotional state?
Well, I guess the first thing to say is that we don't exactly know how Facebook does this. But there's a couple of different ways that they could potentially do this. So there are schemes that are called supervised. So, you know, somebody could read a bunch of Facebook posts and label them as positive or negative, or label them with different emotions. And then you could build a machine learning classifier or the statistical method to when a new post comes in to predict whether it matches the which labels it matches, whether it matches the positive or negative. Or there are what we call unsupervised or dictionary based methods, where you essentially have a dictionary, like a dictionary for the meanings of words, but for the happiness or the sadness or the sentiment of words. So you could give a word like laughter a very high score, a word like poverty or headache a very low score. And then you could, for a given post, you could add up the scores, look up the scores from the dictionary for all of the different words in the text, and that would give you some idea of whether it was a positive or a negative post.
Surely context really matters here. Even with a dictionary of words for particular emotions, how can a robot trawling through the data pick one emotion from another?
This is where it becomes really tricky. So if we're doing the sort of thing that researchers usually try to do, which is to look at a sort of population level to measure the average sentiment over a large number of people, it's not so problematic, perhaps because people are usually talking about the thing that they mean. They're talking directly. They're not being sarcastic or being ironic or something like this. But you can imagine that if on Facebook you use a phrase like fully sick, for example, which, you know, might be expressing a positive emotion, then that could get scored as something negative.
Okay, so where's the potential danger here? I mean, I mentioned they might be able to influence the way we feel as well. How could they How could they kind of insert themselves in that? How could they do that?
So Facebook specifically actually did a study a couple of years ago on something called emotional contagion, where they tweaked the algorithm slightly. So they firstly identified the sentiment in posts, and then they very slightly boosted the number of positive sentiment posts or the number of negative sentiment posts that were shown to an individual. And then they wanted to see if people shared on those same emotions. And so they found that there's a very weak effect, but there was, in fact, some evidence of this. So people who saw more positive posts were more likely to write positive words in their own posts, and the same as in the converse. So if people saw posts with more negative words in them, they were very, very slightly more likely to share on negative posts themselves. So that's just one way, you know, with the algorithm that you could actually... Facebook has shown that they can have this very weak effect, and they were forced to apologise for that in 2014 because that, you know, obviously had the pretty blatant creepiness factor.
Yeah, blatant creepiness for sure. So, you know, people are listening right now, driving home or cooking dinner or doing various other things, you know, maybe going for a walk and having us on in their ABC radio app, my favourite thing that you could possibly do with us. Mm-hmm. Such a healthy thing to do. But you know, if you know, you don't, they don't have to declare themselves, but if they are an oversharer on Facebook or a sharer, I mean, over has a kind of, I suppose, judgment with it, just a sharer.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Should they be cautious about sharing too many of their emotions? Should they think twice about that?
I don't know about being cautious. I mean, the thing is that social media is here with us to stay. I mean, this data is going to be out there. And it's hard to imagine life without the Facebooks and the Twitters and the social networks of the world.
Well, it's certainly very interesting, and I suppose makes people, well, think about the way they interact with social media. Lewis, thank you.
Thank you very much, Patricia.
Lewis Mitchell there. He's a lecturer in applied mathematics at the University of Adelaide. This is RN Drive. I'm Patricia Carvelis on your radio till 7:30. What do you think about that? I mean, you know, just fess up if you're a sharer. I'm not going to say oversharer because, you know, what is over? Who defines what's oversharing other than the people, I suppose, who judge oversharers? 0418 226 576 is the number you can text on. You can also tweet us using the hashtag RNDrive.